Jones Topsoil has been delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning, talking a little Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our buddy Zach Lyons from Football and Other F-Words, at F-Words Pod on Twitter. Zach, also honorary member of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Zach, good morning, brother. How you doing?
Doing good. You left off president of the Puka Nacua fan club as well. And I kind of want to be addressed as the Robbie and Rex Road leading scorer, if that was possible.
Okay, we'll see.
Well, except you're 1-1. So, like, because my team plays better defense, I'm 2-0 after a convincing win over Robbie Stanley. So I just don't know if we want to give you that kind of recognition.
My team sucks.
I mean, you guys both barely got over 100 points. So, you know, when you're losing 145 to 158, it's a little bit different, especially with the Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
Yeah, there is that.
It's got to hurt, man.
No question about that. Zach, we were discussing this earlier in the show. Just it's a two-game sample size, so there's not a ton to work with from the Titans standpoint right now on Tim Kelly, but he was the offensive coordinator in Houston. We knew about, you know, some concepts and some ideas of what this offense could look like heading into the season. But through two games, what have been your impressions about Tim Kelly's offense? What stood out to you so far through the first 2 weeks?
I think he passes the eye test, right? We talk about explosive plays and how this offense lacked them in the last 2 years, really. If you include the plays that could have been potentially made if Ryan Tannehill had not done his best Zach Wilson impression in week one, then we would be talking about that they would be ranked even higher. But they're ranked right where you want them to be. They're in the top 10 in explosive pass plays. And he just passes the eye test to me. Everything, a lot of empty sets, a lot of motion, a lot of moving people around to before the snap is done. And to me, it's just, I'm looking at it and I go, this is an entirely different offense. And I know, and I'm sure you guys can agree, that everywhere on X and probably littered through your 102.5 text line is all these people, probably the starting off saying that, oh, this is just the same old offense, and oh, this is Todd Downing. And to me, Tim Kelly is like light years ahead, and this is the closest thing that the Titans have had to a modern offense since really Matt LaFleur, and I wouldn't even give him that much credit for having a modern offense when
Please
he
don't.
Was here in Tennessee. This is entirely different to me, and I love it. I love everything about Kelly. He's got a little bit of issues, but I just like him. I mean, he's awesome. Pretty boy Kelly,
man.
Do you
feel like, yeah, well, and, you know, when we were talking earlier about, like, snap counts, obviously, you know, I mean, I think Derrick Henry was low in game one, lower than he should have been. That changed a lot. I was amazed looking at the, like, realizing how little, actually, that Tyjae Spears played and the impact he had in the game for, you know, for the bang for the buck on him was pretty good in the second game. How do you think that looks moving forward with those two?
I think it looks about what you saw on this last Sunday versus the Chargers. There may be different game scripts where Tyjae Spears gets a little bit more gameplay, like if the Titans fall behind and all that kind of stuff. But I expect, based on history with Vrabel, that they're going to be in a lot of close games that are going to give you cardiac arrest. And that's just how they've always played. But I believe that Tyjae Spears and Derrick Henry splits are going to be about Derrick Henry 71%, 60%, somewhere around there, way better than what it was on week one. What you saw in week two is probably the preferred split usage. And speaking of that, I just want to give props to Tim Kelly for being the first coach under Mike Vrabel to take the coach better, play better, and specifically the coach better part, and actually do it. He stood up there, answered all y'all's questions, took accountability, turned it around, and did the two things he said he was going to do. Put the ball in the playmaker's hands and give and use Henry more. That's the first time we've seen a coach do that under Vrabel, I feel like.
Yeah, no question about that. Zach Lyons with us here on Robbie and Rex Road from Football and Other F Words. What about Treylon Burks in this offense? Because we've heard Zach all year about, and all offseason long, about the improvement from Treylon Burks and how much better he looks, all these things. He makes the huge play on Sunday, the 70-yard catch. As a deep threat, how equipped do you think Treylon Burks is to be that guy and for that to be a big part of this Titans offense? Obviously, you have to block for the quarterback in order to set those things up, but how big of a deep play threat do you think Treylon Burks can be in this league?
Oh, he could totally be a deep threat. In fact, when people were talking about this all offseason over at Football and Other F Words, me and Mike Herndon, that's all we talked about was how Treylon Burks is your deep threat. In fact, this goes back to when he was a rookie because, you know, when he came out of college, he had a lot of deep yards. He had a good depth of target coming out of college. He has speed. And what happens is that Treylon Burks, you know, comes into camp. He's out of shape. He has some asthma issues. It takes him a while. You know, he's basically playing five steps behind all the other rookie wide receivers. And, you know, he only started six games in 2022. Now he played in 11. But he doesn't have a lot of NFL playing time compared to his contemporaries. So I think that once, you know, this offense starts gelling, coming together, the chemistry is building, as we saw in the Chargers game is a great example. At the beginning, it wasn't that great, and then as it went on, everything started clicking. Once this all starts clicking for everybody, I think you're going to see a lot more deep shots. And I love that the deep shots came out of 12 personnel, because the Titans typically just run under 12 personnel in the previous couple of years, even under Arthur Smith, and now they're passing out of 12 personnel, which keeps the defense honest, and that's what you need. Tim Kelly is aiming to keep the defense honest while utilizing all of his playmakers the best he can. It's a pro-style spread, so it's going to be spread around. The ball will be spread around. It's not going to be what everybody wants where you just feed one person constantly. It's going to be spread around, which is a good thing.
I know we just keep talking about offense, but, I mean, hey, look, it's just the more interesting side of the ball. Zach, the numbers say pretty good performance right now in terms of pass protection from the offensive line. Early in both games, you know, obviously there were some major issues. Where do you think that is? Where do you think it's going? And just in specifically Andre Dillard, you know, how do you feel about him, where he is? Do you think some shuffling could be ahead?
Man, I don't know. You know, if I were basing this off of the history of the Tennessee Titans substitution policy, right? Like, you look at Dennis Daly last year, and they, despite evidence to the contrary, they kept playing him. Andre Dillard is not Dennis Daly bad. But how much of a leash do they get compared to what they have last year, especially with Dylan Raiden's playing well, with the possibility of moving Skowronski to the left, or even the slimmer possibility of moving MPF to the left when he comes back. They got options. So I think that last year with Dennis Daly, they felt like their hands were tied and they had what they had and they couldn't get better. They don't have that this year. But I don't think Dillard is playing as bad as what the stats suggest. PFF gave him a sack. It is either the Kenneth Murray sack or the Joey Bosa sack, and put that blame on him. Neither of those are on him. They were both on Newman. I think he's got a chance to get better. His run blocking is outstanding. He's pancaking people. He's getting out there. To me, it's just how much patience does this team have if he continues to let Ryan Tannehill get hit? And I think that is the issue. It's not really if he allows a lot of hurries. It's more if he allows a lot of sacks and quarterback hits on his side. I don't think Skowronski is going to move to left tackle. I know that's the big, why don't you just move him over there? Move him over there. He was supposed to be a tackle. No, he was always going to be a guard, according to all the NFL execs and scouts. So I think it's basically Raiden's. And I think there is a possibility if Chris Hubbard is playing well, maybe they try NPF over there. NPF does have experience at left tackle.
Well, Zach, great stuff,
buddy. I don't know if that's
a good thing or not. Well, that is true. Worth maybe taking a look at there. Zach, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. And we'll talk to you soon, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, talk to you guys soon. Puka Nacua for life.
Yes. He's going to catch like 175 balls this year, apparently. Beautiful stuff. Zach Lyons, from Football and Other F-Words, our guest.
Very good pick. That was a very good pick because they are throwing to him all the time.
Just like, oh, what did he catch, 15 balls on Sunday? It's pretty incredible. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, get back into the offense. What have we learned about Tim Kelly and the Titans offense through two games? Take your thoughts on that and all things Titans. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Zach Lyons from Football and Other F-Words for joining us in the last segment. Lots of interesting things there regarding Tim Kelly and the Titans offense. And our question of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road is very simple. What have you made of Tim Kelly and the Titans offense through the first two games? What do you like? What do you dislike? Hit up our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Indy Ben on the text line says, I don't see why it would be that difficult to figure out the Titans play action offense, especially with a soon-to-be 30-year-old Henry and a lackluster offensive line. If defenses can't slow a running game with seven-man fronts and major deficiencies on the opposing offensive line, that's more a problem with their defense. Giving up coverage assignments seems silly to me when you know the Titans like to hit those deeper play action throws on occasion. That's from Indy Ben on the text line, who's riding high after the big Colts win on Sunday.
Coach Indy Ben over here.
I like it.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's, you could talk about figuring it out, but I mean, one, Zach, good point on, you know, 12 personnel, two tight ends, trying to be less, I mean, they're certainly less predictable, right? I mean, like there's way less predictability so far.
Yep.
And yeah, and you can get too cute, you know, if you, you know, when you're trying to be creative and unpredictable, all that stuff. But I like the not knowing which back or if they'll both be together. I just think that that's got to give a defense more to think about it. Look, on that play action, I mean, Tannehill's play action numbers were fantastic again on Sunday, as they've been throughout his career with the Titans. He's a very good play action quarterback. And I mean, look, you say what you want about being easy to diagnose or bad offensive line. Bottom line is Derrick Henry still draws safeties up and linebackers up, and Treylon Burks just flat out ran past that cornerback.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Asante Samuel's not, you know, a lockdown great cornerback in the NFL, but he left him in the dust and looked very fast on that play. So to Zach's point on him too, I'd like to see more of that.
So trying to look and see what we've learned about the offense so far, it's 2 weeks. So you're talking about a very limited sample size at this point from the Titans offense. The usage of the running backs has been very interesting. Obviously the first week Spears ends up with more snaps than Henry in that game. Last time out, Henry with 25 carries, Spears with 8 carries against the Chargers. So it's looked different from that standpoint the first couple games. I'm with you. The fact that Spears was as productive as he was in the limited snaps that he got, I thought was encouraging for him on Sunday. So I'm interested to see what that looks like against the Browns in that front as they go on the road this Sunday. But, you know, the passing on early downs, the first down passing, the different sets that they're running. They've been an empty a lot so far the first couple of weeks, Rex Road, which we've not seen a ton from the Titans over the past few years. They're just mixing things up. And like you said, there's a balance to that. You don't want to get too cute and mix things up when you should stick with your bread and butter. You know, it's third and one. I don't know how many times you need to be an empty out there if you're the Titans and Tim Kelly. But, you know, Vrabel, I think back to the season-ending press conference last year. And they were talking about the offense and all these different things, Joe. And the word predictability, or trying to be more unpredictable, it came up probably 5 or 6 times in that press conference with Vrabel at the end of last year. And we talked about it at the time, like, what does that mean and how do you change that moving forward if you're the Titans? And so far, through two games, I've been impressed by what I've seen from Kelly from that standpoint in terms of trying to keep the defense off balance, giving different looks, running different plays out of traditional looks that they've had where maybe you expect a run and a pass comes their way. I think it's, for the most part, been pretty good. And I know, you know, you look at the first week, Joe, Titans managed to put up 15 points and didn't score a touchdown. But as we've talked about, a couple of plays that were schemed wide open by Tim Kelly in this offense that the quarterback just missed on, and had you hit on one or two of those plays, number one, you're talking about a 2-0 Titans team, and number two, you're talking about pretty good offensive performances in both of those games.
Yeah, hit on one of them, and they're 2-0, and we probably are – well, we're probably talking about Tim Kelly the way Zach just did, or more people are. Matt from Canada says, Tim Kelly's been good, but if you haven't watched a Titans game or heard this guy, you would think he was the second coming of Andy Reid. Look, I've been impressed. You know, it's still very early. The body of work before here, albeit for some bad teams, it wasn't about Houston. I mean, again, Davis Mills looked like a good quarterback with Tim Kelly as his OC. So, I mean, it's encouraging for sure. You know, I'm always going to be, I guess, probably like a semi-defender of Todd Downing, just in terms of I think that he had some limitations last year that it would be hard to overcome. But he tried to be unpredictable here and there. You know, he would put out – I heard Jared and Ian talking yesterday about, like, Cody Hollister. Well, they did throw out some play action with Cody Hollister and throw to Cody Hollister.
They
you
did.
Know, he tried to do – he tried to be unpredictable, but
– jet sweep, you know, with Malik Willis. He had some play calls that were certainly unpredictable.
Yeah, well, now that's – yeah, now that's like the getting cute or slash like here's a play we repped, so it has to get in the game somehow. I have to see the practice footage of the Traylon Burks throw across the field.
I was going to bring that
up. How well that worked in practice. But, yeah, another thing that Vrabel said, of course, is, you know, it isn't broken. Now, of course, then they just changed the offense, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, they still did go to – but, I mean, I think he's also talking about some of the personnel, right? And some, and there are some, you know, as Tim Kelly said, we talked about for the season, and there's some things he took. It was interesting to hear yesterday Vrabel talk about Justin Outen, the you know, who is the run game coordinator, right? Who was the Broncos OC, is the one who asked for the Spears run. That was a big play. That was an overtime, right? Yeah, that was an overtime.
Yep.
You know, so there's a little example of some collaboration and different concepts and ideas that are kind of melding together into an offense. So look, if they block, then I think the Titans are going to be a lot of fun to watch with this offense. I think it's going to be interesting and fascinating and creative and probably score, have more games where it gets into the high 20s if they block.
What did you think of the idea that Zach threw out there of maybe when Petit Frere is back, floating the idea of if Hubbard's playing well, leave him at right tackle, and maybe consider moving Nicholas Petitfrere to left tackle? What do you make of that idea?
Well, first of all, I agree with what he said about Skronsky, which we've talked about a million times. And I've thrown it out there, like, hey, if it's bad, do you think about Skronsky as an option? I don't take that off the table because I think he's very talented. And, I mean, if that's your big issue and he's your best option, then I think you can – and you have someone who can be okay at left guard, then I think you consider it. But – He was drafted to be a guard. Just about everyone across the board going into the process thought he would be a guard, even though he was a great tackle in college. And they do have options. I just don't know how good those options are. NPF at left tackle, that was what he played at Ohio State. You know, I suppose that's possible. Dylan Radins at left tackle. I mean, I still think Andre Dillard, you know, he has good feet. And I still think that he has the highest upside from what I've seen at left tackle this year. Doesn't
he's
mean
not
he's gonna
completely
reach it.
Terrible.
Like
no, he's
no,
like
no,
he's
no,
not
no, no.
Dennis Daly out there.
Right. No, not absolutely. I still think there's upside for him. You got to clean up some of the, you know, the real bad pass pro reps, and you know, like this week you're going to have to help the heck out of him, but anybody you throw out there, you would, right? Like the Titans don't have a Taylor Lewan. There's no Taylor Lewan anywhere in sight. So I still think it'll probably end up being Dillard all year. But at least there is that possibility to move people around and get a look if he really struggles.
By the way, on the Skoronski front, Vrabel did in fact confirm yesterday that he had a, quote, procedure. He was asked about the appendectomy, and he said, yep, he had a procedure. So we'll see what happens on Skoronski and when he's back.
Yeah, and again, credit to Jarrett. Said he had, was first saying he had an appendix issue. Rappaport fleshed that out to appendectomy. I heard Jarrett talking about how people didn't give him credit. I mean, I will say that Rappaport with the specific appendectomy, you know, I mean, that's an important distinction, right? Like an appendix issue and an appendectomy, those are two different things. Vrabel almost confirming something on an injury front, almost.
He got close. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans offense. What have you liked? What have you not liked about Tim Kelly and his offense through the first 2 weeks? More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. What have you liked? What have you not liked about the Titans offense through the first 2 weeks? Taking on the Cleveland Browns coming up on Sunday, Joe, who just obviously had a massive loss last night that we've talked about with Nick Chubb getting hurt. A big game for the Titans on Sunday, trying to move to 2-1, going on the road against another 1-1 team. This is a really interesting matchup because on paper, like I look at the Browns, they got a lot of really good players on the defensive side of the ball, and we're going to get more, you know, specifically into the individual matchups a little bit later this week. But you got to deal with Myles Garrett if you're Tim Kelly and this Titans offensive staff this week. You got to figure out a way to not let him just absolutely wreck the game. And I'm with you. Like the offensive line part of this, look, let's be real here. There's a good chance on Sunday that Myles Garrett is going to have a big day and he is going to have a massive impact on this game. And that would be the case really no matter who he's playing against. He is one of the best pass rushers in the league. It just is what it is. So if you're the Titans trying to figure out specifically how to derail him and try to prevent him from totally wrecking your game plan offensively, that to me is going to be challenge number one for the Titans this week on the offensive side of the ball to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, they come right out and you know, see some pretty good pass. We talked about it before the season. You know, it's the offensive line's the biggest question, and some of the best pass rushers on the schedule are right out of the gate. Yep. So, and I mean, Cleveland's got. It's not just Myles Garrett.
Nope.
I mean, they've got Hurst and those guys. They got some guys who can get after people.
Darius Smith. Yep.
Yep. Big Z and the Titans have seen the wrong side of Big Z before. So, which I don't even know what that means, but you know what I'm saying.
I do.
Yeah. So it's going to be the key to the game. I think. Look, both defensive fronts have the edge in this game. Sometimes you look at a game, it's like, oh, both offenses have the edge. Get ready for some fun. I mean, I think we're talking about a grinder here, probably. I haven't been that impressed with Deshaun Watson. He does have, I mean, Njoku and obviously Amari Cooper are very good players, but now how different are the Browns, without Nick Chubb? I mean, how much do they change? Ford looked awesome last night too. Yeah. So I assume they probably kind of try to do the same things. We know the Titans typically don't let teams run the ball. So, I mean, Deshaun Watson getting out of the pocket, containment, you know, staying in your lanes, rush discipline, all that stuff for the Titans. Whereas, you know, with the Brown on the other side of the ball, it's another, I think you have to run the ball with some level of success in this game to be able to slow that pass rush down.
Joe, has there been anything about the Titans offense through 2 weeks that has surprised you from the standpoint of maybe you didn't expect to see certain things as much as you have, or maybe on the other side of things, you thought you'd see something in this offense that you've just not seen a ton of yet through this point through 2 weeks?
Well, as we've talked about, the unpredictability of personnel in terms of like when Derrick Henry's on the field or not. Again, he went from 30 snaps to 46 snaps week one to week two, 48% to 71%, while Tajay Spears went from 34 to 24, 54% down to 37%. They're on the field some together. I mean, the option play was fantastic. That was an example of a special red zone play, perfectly timed, the right look, got the Chargers flowing all one direction with Spears. I mean, think about that. Like, you get the defense flowing with Spears so that you go the other way with Henry, again, as an option pitch man. And Ryan Tannehill doesn't get touched until he's diving into the end zone. That was a beautiful play. So the creativity has been good. And again, I think most of the creativity has been effective in providing opportunities. They just haven't always taken advantage of it. I've been a little surprised personnel wise by, well, look, I thought Chris Moore would be ahead of NWI. So I continue to be an NWI detractor now, and I'm wrong.
Going full circle.
Yeah. How about that? You know, Chris Moore, now he only played 9 snaps in the opener. He did get up to 30 in the last game, but I think some of that is also Hopkins and possibly Burks being a little bit nicked up. But, you know, Westbrook Ikhine, I mean, he's 51 snaps in the opener, 81%. He's 44 snaps last week, 68%, but he's got great chemistry with Tannehill. No matter what offense they're in, those guys have a feel for each other, and obviously had the huge touchdown in the play action, another red zone play that worked for them. So the red zone, remember, you know, the opener, it's like, man, the red zone, they're a mess. But why are they a mess? Well, I mean, if you get false starts and stuff, you know, that hurts. If you can't protect, that hurts. They looked more like a team that's going to be able to do things in the red zone this last week, and that's obviously critical. Situationally, you know, and they were pretty good on third down. Now, most of their third down failures were sacks.
Yep.
In fact, I think I don't know this for, I have to go back and look, but I think the 5 sacks all were third down drive stoppers, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong on that. Maybe only 4 of them were, but yeah, that's where, when you're in an obvious passing situation, you know, third and a little bit longer, can you protect? Or they were in the fourth down, of course, and they just had a total gaffe and just let a guy hit Tannehill free. But, you know, that's still where they have issues. And, again, is that a surprise? No. Your question was what surprised me. That doesn't surprise me, but it's kind of surprising they had all the success they had even with those issues.
They've gone in empty, I think, a fair amount through 2 games, which has been interesting to watch. Now, even in week 1, I remember they went – they emptied out they had an empty set, and Derrick Henry was split out wide. He was like the widest guy in the formation. I was like, this is it. Finally, the 50-yard yes. vertical shot to Derrick Henry to see if he can do it. And unfortunately, they didn't go that way. But I do wonder, like, Spears specifically, like the different things that we've seen them do with him. You know, Henry in the passing game so far, he had the screen play against the Saints where it went for 50 yards that was great and all those things. But, you know, Derrick Henry doing different things with him out of the backfield. Do we see any of that moving forward from Tim Kelly? Are there, you know, is he running choice routes out there? We hadn't seen much of that from Derrick Henry's career so far. I will say he had his best career year as a receiver last season. So are there more things dialed up for Derrick Henry in the passing game maybe that we haven't seen much of so far? I'm interested to see that moving forward.
Yeah, so let's see.
I'm selfishly rooting for the 50-yard shot.
Well, I mean, can you imagine Derrick Henry, you know, you're a DB and you're messing with Derrick Henry in a 50-50 ball, you know? Just throw the fade to Derrick Henry. Throw the fade. I'm with you. At some point, you got to give it a shot. He did – let's see. I mean, obviously, he's had a couple screen. He had the big screen at New Orleans. I mean, he was an outlet and had a good catch, you know, in the last game. That was kind of a, you know, I mean, it was a kind of a hot shot of a pass, good catch.
Yep.
But, yeah, they – I mean, they're in empty with at least one of those guys, obviously, on the field. And it's one of those things where if you have a bad game, I mean, people were talking about it last week. You know, it's like you score 15 points, you don't score a touchdown. It's like, why would you ever have a backfield that does not have, you know, Derrick Henry or at least a running back? Well, you know, sometimes empty can work for you too. So, yeah, it's been creative. It's been fun to watch. And, you know, we'll see if it can be consistently effective. Can they get back to, you know, being into the 20s on a regular basis? I mean, I think, again, the red zone stuff I thought was encouraging. I mean, those were plays that specifically worked for the red zone. Logan says, damn, Joe, NWI was your boy. We'll never forget the awkward fanboy phone call with him. Yes. Oh,
I won't either.
NWI was NWI, friend of the show.
Well, at one point.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, he's our friend. We may not be his friend, but no, hey, NWI, in all seriousness, you gotta respect NWI. And again, when I watch a game over, I'm not saying this facetiously. He had some really good blocks, man. You know who else had a couple good blocks in this game?
Who's that?
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins. He's not afraid to go out there and mix it up a little bit. Yeah. He had a nice block on the Tannehill option run.
I mean, I've been you know, I don't know if impressed is the right word, but like Hopkins to me looks basically exactly how I thought he'd look through two games. Like the first game, I thought he was good. He got targeted 13 times against the Saints. He had 7 catches. He's not a burner or anything like that, but made some nice contested catches. I mean, it's clear that to some level this past week, Joe, he was battling through an ankle injury just to get out there. And Vrabel talked about it yesterday. Like, there's a trust level that he has in Hopkins to kind of leave that decision up to him and what that looks like without practicing. But also said, you know, maybe from a statistical standpoint, it doesn't jump out to you at 4 catches for 40 yards. Made some big catches in that game, including the last catch to set up that game winner there. I think Hopkins has been what I thought he would be through the first two games, which is a good sign for the Titans.
Yeah, and he's able to go out and play and still be a big factor in a week that he couldn't really practice. So that's still, to me, it's like participation. Give me the final game number of Hopkins, well, Burks,
yep,
you know, Fulton, Hooker. We'll see if those guys are back this week. Some guys on this team, it's just like, if you know you're getting a dozen or more games for them, that really bodes well for this team. So far with Hopkins, it is a lot different from the obvious comparison of 2 years ago, Julio Jones.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Also, take a look around the AFC South coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Joe Dillon on the text line says, if Treylon Burks is injured again and misses more time, they just need to go ahead and give up on him. Your best and most important ability is availability. I'm happy for him and glad he's made progress, but it doesn't really matter if he can't consistently stay on the field. But if it's something minor and he works through it, then I guess it's not an issue. That's from Dillon on the text line.
Well, the text line's got Tim Kelly fired and Treylon Burks cut. I think the Titans should consider that. Also, Derrick Henry, trade him for another good player, because that's realistic.
Yep, we've seen a lot on the text line so far today. Interesting thoughts.
Right, one point on the text line real quick I do want to bring up. Alexander Mattison's stuff that goes along with my rant from earlier. That was – thank you for bringing that up.
Yep.
Horrifying. Yep.
Absolutely. So the AFC South, Joe, we got three teams at 1-1. Jags lose to Kansas City over the weekend. Indy takes down Houston in a battle of the Titans, no pun intended, in Houston over the weekend. Houston at 0-2. This weekend, Jacksonville at home hosting the Texans, and Indianapolis going on the road to take on Baltimore. So some intriguing games with divisional implications this weekend. I said it yesterday, Joe, the Colts, to me, have actually looked a little bit better than I thought they would. I thought they played well, yeah, against Jacksonville in week one in the loss. And then, obviously, Anthony Richardson gets hurt on Sunday. We'll see what his status looks like moving forward here. But played well against Houston. They get the win. They're at 1-1. Jacksonville, you know, Calvin Ridley looked great in week one against the Colts. Offensively, they were terrible on Sunday against Kansas City. And, you know, Kansas City, I think you got to give them credit. Chris Jones was back. He played in that game, and boy, did he look effective in that game against Trevor Lawrence and that offense. But they managed 9 points in that game. They lose 17-9 to the Chiefs. A tough outing for Trevor Lawrence and that Jacksonville offense in week two. And they're taking on Houston this week. They'll have Atlanta next week. So a couple of home games in a row coming up here for Jacksonville. But it'll be interesting to see how they respond after a pretty bad performance offensively. Obviously, it's Houston, so you would think there will be opportunities there for the Jacksonville Jags to put up some points on Sunday. But I thought kind of an eye-opening performance for that Jaguars offense on Sunday against Kansas City.
Didn't look good. Didn't look good at all. And the thing that people wondered about, which I need to know right now, how many NFL teams right now have this question to some extent? How about that offensive line?
A lot.
I mean, it's, you know, we focus so much on the Titans here, and obviously they've made some bad choices and they're not very good up front, but a lot of teams have offensive line questions. The Jags definitely do. They got handled up front by the Chiefs. Chris Jones is back, but that's a concern. I mean, I like Trevor Lawrence a lot. There was, I think, a lot of that game he didn't have a lot of a chance. And so, you know, a lot to work out. They'll get well this week. You know that. And I'm with you on the Colts. Now, the Colts are, I mean, Shane Steichen's offense is fun.
Yeah.
And it's creative, and Anthony Richardson's going to have his ups and downs, but they got him making plays right now. And I think, I'm guessing he misses this week. I just always assume a week, you know, a game when someone has a concussion. So we're going to have to see some Minshew magic. But they look pretty good. Now, Ryan Kelly also concussed there, and that is problematic for them. So I think ultimately they're going to fall to, you know, a battle with the Texans for last. But it might not be a battle. Texans might just run away with it.
They might run away with it. You know, C.J. Stroud's numbers were good on Sunday, but they've got some work to do. No question about that. Now, Joe, we talked about this year heading into the season, the scheduling for the AFC South and the NFC South on paper, which figured to be maybe the two worst divisions in the NFL. Now, it still could turn out to be that way. We're 2 weeks into a 17-game NFL season. I will say, though, Tampa Bay 2-0, New Orleans 2-0, Atlanta 2-0. So three 2-0 teams so far, Joe, in the NFC South. So maybe it's not going to be as much of an easy schedule as we thought for the Titans in the second half of the year.
Yeah, I'm glad there was another game that I was much more interested in last night, which was the Steelers-Browns as opposed to the Panthers-Saints. That was another grinder. Saints going to be in some grinders, but I mean they were my pick to win the division. I'm intrigued by the Falcons. I'm intrigued. You just saw a lot of them Sunday. You watched them more closely than I have, but I mean Bijan Robinson, watching some of the all 22 clips of him, my goodness. They're intriguing. Tampa Bay, I don't know what the heck's going on. I mean, you played the Bears, but you also went into Minnesota and won. I mean, Baker can
those
play,
receivers are,
you know,
still good, man. Like, Evans is still really good. Godwin's still really good. And that defense, while it's not the same as it was a couple years ago, they still got some good playmakers on that defense. So, look, I mean, I still don't think that they're anything more than probably like a, I don't know, 7-8 win team somewhere in that neighborhood. But, I mean, Evans, he put up almost 200 yards on Sunday. He's still a pretty darn good player.
I mean, Tampa Bay has kind of been the team I've considered my own little personal favorite to get Caleb Williams. I just think it just makes sense, you know. You know, you're not signing up long term for Baker. What are they paying him, $4 million this year? You know, I mean, they're the perfect team to do that. Although, this is what happens. We think about this from the outside, but you got a coach who's trying to keep his job.
Yeah.
You know, I have switched now to the Cardinals after they botched what they were doing with Josh Dobbs running over people like he's Jerome Bettis.
They look good.
You know, they did, and they still lose that game. I think they're the new favorite, and maybe they should have been the favorite all along. No, I mean, the NFC South, it's not terrible, maybe.
Still early, but I'm just saying, like, the Falcons – I, like you said, I watched a lot of them Sunday. Bijan Robinson is no joke. I mean, that dude is really, really good. The Titans have been really good at stopping the run. You know, we're gonna find out Sunday. Like the Browns on Sunday, their game plan has been to run the ball with Nick Chubb, and Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper have developed a pretty good rapport there. Now you don't have Chubb, obviously. So how much does that change the game plan for the Browns on Sunday in terms of the Titans and their run defense? It's been very difficult to run the ball against the Titans for anybody, really, over the last couple of years. Saquon had a great week one last year against the Titans running the ball. That's pretty much it. Like, it was really difficult to run the ball against the Titans after that. I know Jalen Hurts and the Eagles found success doing it kind of a different way last year, but it's really difficult to run the ball. So if the Titans can make them one-dimensional on Sunday, I said earlier in the show, Joe, like I'm watching Deshaun Watson last night, and he doesn't look good. I mean, he was 22 of 40 last night. He had the pick six. Also, the fumble that was a scoop and score on the strip sack there. Like, Deshaun Watson, ever since he's been in Cleveland, he just doesn't look like the same player. And how much of that's what's going on off the field with him? How much of that is the fit with Kevin Stefanski in the offense? I don't know. But I'm again watching him play last night, and it wasn't very good.
It was underwhelming. Even with Chubb, it'd be interesting to see how Cleveland would look at the Titans. I mean, you do what you do, but, you know, knowing the Titans are stingy against the run, you know, now how much does that change how they want to attack the Titans defense? I mean, you got to see opportunity downfield, you know, for pretty good receiving core. in this game, but you got to be able to protect Deshaun Watson, maybe move the pocket, whatever. And I mean, he still hurt the Steelers some, you know, running the ball last night. He can still do that for sure. He also like hurt himself by like face masking Steelers left and right as he was running. But no, I'm with you. He's been underwhelming. You know, I mentioned Jerome Bettis and Josh Dobbs. By the way, there's an example. Thank you, text line, of a team built around running back that's won a Super Bowl in the last 30 years. The Falcons didn't win it, but they were absolutely built around those two backs. There's examples of running backs being central to, and of course, with the Seahawks, as we mentioned. I mean, the Rams, when they made it, Todd Gurley was hurt at that point, but they were absolutely Gurley-centric. You know, with that team, his best player in the NFL the year before that.
That's going to do it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe show up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.